This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Open for Business here on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio with Zubaida and Raymond. They are two of the co-founders from the Manja Company. Now, I have great difficulty when I speak to people in the UK to explain what the word manja means, right? And I'm going to ask two Malaysians to define exactly to them what manja means. So, Raymond and Zubaida, how would you describe manja? The word.
The word manja, okay, it essentially means to pamper someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so where we came up with the Manja Company is to pamper, meaning that, okay, you don't feel stressed, you know, when you buy our stuff.
Right.
And it's like for babies to start off, you know. So, and now we have a tagline called Manja Kan Dompetmu, which is in BM, and it translates to pampering your wallet.
Pampering your wallet.
Yes, pampering your wallet. And you'll know why we choose this tagline.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the reason why it's difficult for you to explain is that it can mean a lot of different things. Right,
right, because, so, you know, I will say, why is my cat being so manja today?
Yeah. Right? So pamper is one,
yeah,
as a verb.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a verb. It can be where you are being affectionate. Someone, yeah, like a kid is being affectionate to,
yeah,
you. So you say that kid is very manja,
yeah,
with you. It's also used to refer a lot to babies, small children, pets.
Yeah.
So they say si manja.
Yeah.
To refer to
affection.
That.
Yeah.
And love.
So that's that then.
Pretty much.
I don't know if I'm any clearer now though. Right. Okay. Let's talk about your business then. Of course. I've not brought you here to define the word manja. Tell me a little bit about your business, because I know that you were part of the BizSmart Challenge, and that
we've just applied.
You've just applied.
Hopefully, you're getting.
Okay, and that's something we'll come to towards the end of the show. But tell me about the business. I know right now your starting product is baby diapers.
Correct.
Which is a very specific market, right? And not being a parent, but knowing the cost of baby diapers here in Malaysia and elsewhere, they're expensive. They tend to be quite highly priced, and the competition amongst the brands, the differences in prices is marginal. Yours tend to be quite considerably cheaper, right? Okay. First of all, tell me why you chose baby diapers. And secondly, how you've managed to bring down the price considerably.
Okay, so first of all, to introduce, we are a consumer goods brand, and our mission is to reduce the cost of living, because that is the biggest problem, yeah, in our opinions, that, yeah, Malaysians are facing nowadays, particularly the middle class, the lower middle income groups and the middle income groups, so, yeah, like young professionals and such. So it's something that we really want to do something about. And everyone talks about the cost of living issue. You see in the news every day. But no one's really doing much about it. So we had an idea that we can do something about it. And we, using our knowledge and our experience from our previous work, and we thought we should do this. This is our contribution to the people and to the country. Okay, so why baby diapers? The baby diapers are, it's something that is a basic necessity, and when buyers of baby diapers, they are at the most cost conscious period of their life. So, yeah, they've probably spent all their savings on having their wedding, buying a house,
yes,
having a kid, all the medical expenses, and then raising the kid. So that's when they're most price sensitive, and they are suffering the most from the cost of living issue, actually. So we said, okay, we will start there, because that's where we can make the most impact in the fastest way possible. And the way we reduce the cost of living. So to bring down the prices of goods, you have to look at the different elements of cost that make up that final retail price.
Yeah.
So the actual cost of the good itself, the production cost, is in most cases a small part of the final retail price. So you've got all sorts of different costs, such as the warehousing cost, the logistics cost, trucking, shelving, the retailing costs, all the different overheads, like all the rents at the different layers of the supply chain. So a good rule of thumb for many products, not all, is that for every layer of the supply chain, every layer of distribution, you double up the price. So let's say you start with 1 ringgit from the factory. The first guy who buys that will then charge 2 ringgit to the next guy. And then that goes up to 4 and then 8 and then so on.
Yeah.
So if you can reduce all of that, so you minimize the gap between the factory and the final consumer, you can reduce all sorts of different costs. Not just in terms of the rents and all that, but there are other minor costs that you can also reduce. Mm. And that's what we've done. So we've used many different methods to reduce all the costs that do not relate to product quality.
Okay.
So that is how we can offer the same quality of baby diapers as the big mass market brands. Am I allowed to say any names or should I not say names?
Of course you can. Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, so the three big mass market brands in Malaysia are Drypers, Huggies, and PetPet.
Mm.
So we give similar quality to them, but at a much lower price. So they would retail in the supermarkets at about 36 ringgit when there's no promotion, and about 30 to 32 ringgit when they do have promotions. Our price is 28 ringgit constant.
For how many pieces?
For one big pack.
For one big pack.
Yeah, pack. And every baby uses about 2 big packs a month.
Yeah.
So imagine the cost can really add up, especially when you have more than one diapering kit at the same time.
Yeah. Zubaida, how long has this business been running then?
Okay, we've officially started on 31st of October 2018. Okay, that's when we actually launched our website and also our Shopee store. And why we actually chose diapers, okay, from my perspective as a mom of three, I have three children and my youngest is almost one. Okay, so we started out choosing diapers because as a mom, I was always chatting with my friends and like, okay, you know, it's very expensive, this and that, you know. And of course, diapers being something that you obviously need every single day until you potty train them.
Mm.
And having sons, I think they will take longer to potty train. Yeah, because yeah, my daughter finished, she was diaper free at about 2 years old. But my son was only diaper free at 4. So imagine the difference, right? So we're saying, okay, instead of just complaining, oh, this is very expensive, this is getting more difficult, we need to spend a lot more in the coming years. So why not do something about it, right? Instead of just complaining. So we decided to come up with this business because we thought, okay, we're not just helping ourselves, but we're also helping other Malaysians and other consumers. So we chose baby diapers. And then as my friend has explained just now, we are trying to cut the cost and giving you what you can get at the supermarket for a much cheaper price without compromising on the quality of the diapers you get. So another friend of ours came up with the tagline, manjakan dompetmu, which is pampering your wallet because you don't have to pay, you know, the unnecessary to get what you actually need. So
2 years ago,
yeah.
Did you just sit down in a room and say, okay, let's make nappies, let's make diapers? Or did you like have a chat group, or were you sat having coffee? I mean, it's a very specific decision, you know, to go into this, something like this? Because I'd imagine that the research that goes into how is a diaper made and what products are, you know, what's the manufacturing process like and where do you get the materials from, what factories make them, that's a big decision and that's a lot of research.
Yes, yeah, that's 2 years worth of research and due diligence, visiting factories, testing out samples. In total, between us starting with the concept and officially launching, it took 2 years. Mm.
2 years, yeah. Correct.
We thought we could do it in one, right. But then everything dragged out and a lot of delays happened.
All of the materials that are in these diapers, is it all locally produced? Is it all locally manufactured? Is it imported? How does it work?
The diapers are produced locally in Malaysia. The components are mostly imported because the best suppliers of these components are mostly overseas. So, for example, the best producer of the super absorbent polymer, this is the thing that really absorbs the liquid, is in Japan.
Right.
So we were quite careful to pick a factory. So we use an OEM factory. We outsource the manufacturing.
Yeah.
We were quite careful when we were selecting the factory. We wanted to make sure that they would use the good stuff.
Yeah.
Because Malaysia actually has quite a few diaper factories for the size of our country. And it took a while to figure out, okay, whose product is really good.
Mm.
And we went for that. Mm. And we could have gone with one factory sooner, but we chose not to. There was one that we really were keen on, even though there were a bit of delays to get them on board. And we are glad we made that decision because that earlier factory, if we were rushing, they've actually closed down now.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a bullet dodge. Like,
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, let's take a short break. We're going to come back. And once we come back, I'm going to talk to you about stuff like funding, you know, and maybe some of the roadblocks and the hurdles that you've had in the 2 years up until where you are now. And then quickly, I want to talk about the logistics and you know, the nitty-gritty of the cost-saving aspect. Because, like you say, you're doubling up and you're increasing your price each time. And at what point in that supply chain and delivery have you chopped things out to make your product cheaper? We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Open for Business. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with a couple of the founding members of the Manja Company. I have in the studio with me
Ray Tan, co-founder of the Manja Company.
And I'm Zubaida Muhammad Yusuf, also a co-founder and director for the Manja Company.
So just a few moments ago, you were talking to me about the factory that you picked. The one thing that we've not really spoken about is why you decided to do this. I mean, first of all, you told me that you want to help everyday Malaysians to save money. But I'm assuming that before you started this company, you did other things. You know, Zubaida, I know you were a teacher. And Ray, I know you were involved in management consulting. How do you decide that, okay, I want to get away from that and I want to start my own thing? Because Zubaida, you're a young mother. Ray, I'm sure, you know, you're in a position of not so much you were wealthy, but...
I was doing okay.
You was doing okay, right? And to start your own business, it's a very, very big decision. How did you come about personally to make that decision between the two of you?
Okay. I started out as a primary school teacher, so I was teaching little children, and I enjoyed that aspect of being a teacher, like being in class, and you know, the sparkles in their eyes, and the laughter, and the fact that they've discovered something new, a new word, a new skill when it comes to English. But then after about 4 years in service, I decided, you know, I'm not sure whether I want to do this for the rest of my life, you know, until I pinch in, you know, which is what the government servants usually end up with, you know, after like how many years. Mm. I don't know. I think mostly it's because I thought, okay, I'm actually, I think I can do something else. I can do something bigger and more impactful, I suppose, in my life. And driven by my own personal issues, personal challenges that I faced in the 4 years of teaching, I thought, okay, you know what? I should take control of my destiny and, you know, let's just do this. And of course, I did have to ask for permission, like from my husband, whether, you know, he'll be okay with me leaving service, you know, and my parents as well, because they're also both government servants right until the end. And then, you know, they were doubts and they were like, you know, when you have your pension, it can take care of you, you know, in the old age, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, you know, I think I beg to differ. I think I can do this, you know. It took a lot of convincing.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
A lot of convincing. And but my husband was like, okay, you know, I have faith in you and that I think you can do bigger and better things, you know. So I thought, okay. I did my solat, istikharah, in Islam. I mean, you know, for guidance. And then I was like, okay. I had this feeling where this is the right thing for me and I should do this. And of course, with my friends, Raymond, I've known him for so long, you know, ever since we were in primary, and we have great trust and, you know, with each other, we work well, we're very good friends. So I thought, okay, you know, why not we start this up? And he was okay, and then our two other friends were okay. So here we are, the Manja Company.
So for me, I knew I always wanted to be an entrepreneur since I was 5 years old. And I'm a big planner, so I've always been planning my life
out. You had a 5-year, a 10-year, a 15-year plan, didn't you?
Not quite. I had a short-term plan, a long-term goal. In between was a bit hazy, but I thought, I'll figure it out. So as I went along, I had the opportunity to do the Young Entrepreneurship Program in secondary school. Mm. So at the age of 16, me and some schoolmates, we started a micro business, Zubaydah included. So we were the top two managers of that company, actually. That's how I knew we would work well together on this venture. And that experience taught me so much, especially in terms of what my gaps were. So then I thought, okay, how do I fill these gaps? And they were in particular how to manage and run a big organization operationally, which is when I decided, okay, to fill this gap, I will do management consulting, specifically in operations consulting. So a lot of people go into management consulting like to do strategy consulting.
Yeah,
but I thought, nah, I'm okay on that front, right? I need the operations side. So then I went into management consulting after I graduated from university to fill that gap, not to start a career. Mm. The goal from the start was to get the knowledge, get the experience, and then do my own business. Mm. And that's what I did.
Well, so it has worked out then. You know, you're at that point now. It has been a journey to get here, right? And let's talk about the journey now then. And what I mean by that is you've already got your business. You've launched your business. You've been running for 2 years. You've found a product. You know how to launch it. You know how to market it. You've found that niche in the market. You know, and we've talked about saving costs. The big cost, as you mentioned earlier on, Raymond, the big cost, the doubling of cost is stuff like logistics and storage and one thing or another. How have, and the other thing is marketing. Marketing is where a lot of people's budget goes.
Yes.
How have you managed, other than the logistics and the storage side of things, to reduce your budget? And how do you sell to the consumer?
So we sell direct to consumer online. So it's e-commerce, basically. So we sell from our website and also on Shopee. Shopee is our main sales platform, actually. Mm. So on a website, you can buy from a website and for self-pickup.
Right.
So then there's no delivery charge there.
Yeah.
On Shopee, there is the delivery cost. But we chose Shopee especially over other platforms because they give the best shipping subsidies. So that goes back to, and we tell people, that's why we chose Shopee. And when you buy from us on Shopee, please use the shipping subsidy voucher. And we tell them how, we have to tell them how to use it, right?
Yeah.
And don't forget
them,
to use it, because people do forget to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to our intention of helping people to save money. So that's on the sales channels. On the marketing side, we choose the channels where we think we can minimize the marketing costs while still reaching out to people. So over the last 1 year since we've launched, we've been actually experimenting with different methods. And we do that because we want to find the most cost-effective method.
Yeah.
One, to be able to reduce the price for our customers. But second, also because we are fully self-funded. So we can't play the burning money game.
That was going to be my next question.
That a lot of startups.
Yeah.
So we can't play the burning money game that a lot of startups do.
Yeah.
So our limiting factor is actually capital, not so much time, which is the complete opposite of most startups nowadays.
Right.
So we do our experiments where we say, okay, we are going to try this marketing channel or method, and this is how we're going to design it as an experiment to test out the cost effectiveness.
Which have been the most cost effective ways of your marketing?
Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram, yeah.
Instagram.
How many followers do you have right now, would you say?
About 5,000 plus.
Which is reasonable.
Yeah.
It's not bad for 1 year plus.
And do you pay for adverts on there?
No,
we don't.
Have you tried that?
We looked at it, and when we were working it out, you can see like what your reach will be, your potential reach. And then we saw, this potential reach is kind of the same as another method that we already use, but it costs more. So then we decided, okay, we will try it later on, but we park it first.
How did you hear about coming on this show?
So I've been a fan of your podcast for quite a while, actually.
Okay.
And then I thought, oh, this is a great idea. Then we started doing research into it, and then found your Instagram, saw that you had a story about
young entrepreneurs.
Yes, inviting young entrepreneurs to contact you.
Okay, so let me tell you how much I paid for that one thing. I spent 50 ringgit, and I had over 700 applicants for just 50 ringgit. And I hadn't really tailored the people that I wanted to tailor it to. I just put 50 ringgit in there and said, okay, send it out to all brackets. And this is what came back. So it's an effective way of marketing, you know, for very little outlay. I'm not saying you should pay for your ads, but I'm saying pay for a few ads. You know?
Yeah.
I actually didn't see the ad.
Yeah, it was an ad originally.
Okay.
And that's how it got so much traction. Okay, so I really like what you're doing. I think the idea of what would you like to happen next? Would you like an injection of funds? Would you like your business to suddenly have interest from people who connect with the idea that you've got about helping people save money and somehow investing in that side of business, but retaining the way in which you do things? Or would you prefer something else?
So the capital side is not such an issue. We can actually raise more funds internally ourselves if we need it. It's more about expanding our reach, letting people know
awareness
that we exist.
Yeah.
Because right now what we do have, and we've focused on this for the first year, is to build the foundations of our brand in terms of credibility.
Right.
In layman's terms, that means we've got a strong database of consumer reviews now.
Yeah.
So on Shopee, we are rated 4.9 out of 5, and that comes from more than 1,000 reviews. So that's the foundation of our brand credibility.
Mm.
And we know we are okay now on that front because new customers are telling us, oh, I just saw the reviews and decided to buy 2 big packs right away. So in the past, when we first started, people were more skeptical and they would buy like
of course
a trial pack.
It's trust.
Or maybe just one pack first and try it out.
Yeah.
But now people have confidence to, they should be fine. Like everyone's saying they're fine, so we just buy 2 packs straight away.
Well, that's good.
So that was the first year. For the next 2 years, we are focused on raising the public's awareness of our brand, particularly with our target market of middle-class Malaysians. And we want to do it in a bigger way. So that's why we're making efforts to get onto radio, newspaper, television, this sort of things. Mm. And without spending too much money on it.
50 ringgit, yeah. Raymond. 50 ringgit. Put your hand in your pocket. Okay, guys, thank you very much for your time today. I do wish you genuinely very good luck with the next couple of years and hope to see you all over my timeline and in other places, of course. Is there anything you want to add? How can people get in touch with you? Where can they find out more about the Manja Company? And where can they buy your diapers?
Okay, right. When people ask us, like, okay, what makes your diaper different than the other brands? And what makes it stand out? And a lot of people that we talked to actually came and said, you know, okay, apart from the price, which is very attractive, because for one packet of S at only 22 ringgit, you have 64 pieces in it. Okay, and our bestseller actually is our S, because a lot of these young moms, They are not really experienced. They don't know how many diapers they're going to use. But 22 ringgit is very attractive, obviously. So that's our bestseller. And then MLXL retails at 28 ringgit flat rate. Okay. And we always use the joke around saying, you know, we have sales all year round. You know, not just like, you know, when baby fairs happen. You know, oh, it's a sale. And then we're like, we're on sale all year round. Why not? You know? Yeah. So, and a lot of people are fans of our diaper, the minimalistic design of it. Okay. It's just blue and white. And it looks very clean, very sleek in that sense. Because there are some parents who say, you know, oh, if you look at the different other diapers, you have all these colorful designs on it. And it looks very smart. I don't know why, but they don't really like it. So they prefer it to be white, and it's easy to see whether it's stained or not, apart from the smell. sorry to be graphic. But okay, yeah, but this really came back to us, and they said, we like the fact that it's a clear poly bag, and you can see inside. It's pretty different from what you see in big retail markets, you know. So they like that kind of difference that you get. And then also the fact that it's on Shopee. You don't have to lug big diaper bags from the shops back home. And so they say, you know, we love this idea. Why didn't you guys come up with it sooner?
So yeah. On Shopee and on Instagram?
On Instagram, yeah, sorry. Okay, so we are on Instagram. And also, you can buy our stuff on Shopee, www.shopee.com.my/themanjaco, themanjaco, The Manja Co. And also, we have our website, which is www.themanjaco.com. Okay. And it's for self-pickup in Putrajaya and also in Kelana Jaya. So far, only two places.
You can find us on Instagram at The Manja Company.
And I do know that you are applying for this year's BizSmart Challenge, right?
Yes, we are.
Mm. Good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Open for Business with Zubaida and Raymond, both from the Manja Company. Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
This has been Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.